Well, it is an honor to be back with all of you today. I'm super, I know I said it a moment ago, but let me say it in this setting. I'm incredibly thankful for Fellowship Greenville, the investment of so many in my life through the years, this place, even being around for a couple hours today. I've been able to see so many familiar faces and hug some necks and shake some hands. And there are a handful of places that have been incredibly formative for me. Southside Christian School, which is right around the corner where I graduated from many, 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 many years ago. Cedarville University, which we were just talking about in the cornfields of Ohio, and this place, Fellowship Greenville. Southside Baptist Church, Southside Fellowship, Fellowship Greenville. I've been around for a really, really, really long time, and I'm thankful. So Charlie, I'm thankful for your investment in my life and the invitation to teach today. Thanks so much. It's always good to come home. Each year at Summit, when the new year kicks off, I usually take the first Sunday, and I'll share with our congregation what I'm praying for them, and for myself, but what I'm praying for them as the new year begins. And as I've been pondering and processing that over the past few weeks, and I was putting some thoughts down, honestly, I felt led to share with you the same thing. My prayer for you as a new year starts, because I do want to let you know something. I pray for you. I pray for the leadership of Fellowship Greenville on a regular basis. I care very deeply about what's happening in the lives of people that call Fellowship Greenville home. I pray for you as the Spirit of God brings you to mind and my moments of prayer throughout the day. Honestly, I pray for you every time I drive by on Highway 14 and I see the facility here. Each month I grab lunch with Charlie and I pray for you, and as Matt and I were talking about, we get to see each other every week. So I'm regularly praying for the people of Fellowship Greenville. So I just wanted to let you know what I'm going to be praying for you in 2019 as the Lord brings you to mind. This is it. That you would intentionally continue to, or maybe for the first time, put yourself in the way of grace. And from that place, extend grace to those that you come in contact with. Allow me to explain. Maybe I should start with that word, intentionally. That means deliberately or on purpose or willfully. It's a word you hear a good bit this time of year, every year, with the new year upon us and people begin to make resolutions or whatever that looks like for you. I actually am always, I did it in the first service, I'm always intrigued by this. Quick show of hands. How many of you, little crowd participation, how many of you like to make goals for the new year? Go ahead, put your hands up. You're goal-making people. Wonderful. How many of you could care less about setting goals? Go ahead, get those hands up. Great, great. How many of you are honest enough to say, I will make some goals, but within 2 weeks, I will not care about the goals that I made? It's good. Fair enough. I would say this, as we continue to grow, intentionality is key. Saying yes to certain things, saying no to certain things takes intentionality, especially when it comes to the most important things, because here's something that's not unique to you. You may think it's unique to you, but it's not unique to you, and that is everyone's really busy. And the temptation of letting the urgent thing begins to crowd out the important thing. We all face that. Everybody's got things going on. We're all swamped. And so without a sense of intentionality, the immediate need of the day, the immediate need of the moment can push the important things to the back of the line. We've all lived that. We have all experienced that. So again, what I'm praying for you in the new year and for myself as well is that we would intentionally put ourselves in the way of grace, that we would value it to the degree that it becomes the priority that is most important. And as I stated, and I think this is true, for some of you, you're going to continue to do that because that is something that you have done. It's like the rhythm of your life that you put yourself in the way of grace. And then others of you in the room, maybe for the first time, you would go, I'm going to be intentional about putting myself in the way of grace. And maybe I should give a little definition to the word grace. When I say grace, what I'm talking about is the kindness shown to us by God through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Some would say, a popular definition of grace, some would say is God's unmerited favor towards us through Jesus. Years ago, I was reading something by Tim Keller. He's a pastor in New York City. This is the definition that he gave grace. Grace, good done to someone who deserves the opposite and is costly to the giver and is shocking to the observer and is traumatic to the receiver. I love that definition of grace. It's always stuck with me. Because as I have put myself in the way of God's grace towards me in and through Jesus Christ, that is definitely my story. Probably true for so many of you in the room. You know, a passage of the Bible that's often talked about around Christmas time is John 1. And John 1 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. And from his fullness we have all received," what does it say? "Grace upon grace." Grace came through Jesus Christ. One author said it this way, I thought it was pretty clever. Grace has a face. It's Jesus. And my prayer for you and my prayer for me in this new year is that we would intentionally continue, or maybe for the first time, put ourselves in the way of grace. I was recently reading about a couple of guys that did just that. They put themselves in the way of grace. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to open them up to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Luke 18. And I just want to read their story. I'll talk a little bit about it, but it's pretty self-explanatory and it's pretty amazing. Luke 18, I'll start reading in verse 35. They put themselves in the way of grace, and, well, it changed everything for them. This is what it says, Luke 18, 35. "And he," Jesus, "drew near to Jericho. A blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant." Verse 37 says, "They told him, 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.' And he cried out, 'Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me.' And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped, commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him," verse 41 says, what do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight, your faith has made you well." And immediately, verse 43 says, he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now here you read about a man that put himself in the way of grace. He's a blind man. Goes by the name Bartimaeus. Now it doesn't tell us here that his name is Bartimaeus, but you can read the story in a couple of the other gospels as well. Matthew's gospel talks about this, and Mark's gospel talks about this. In Mark's gospel is where we learn that his name is Bartimaeus. And in Matthew's gospel, actually what you read about this story is there's another blind guy with him. I mentioned earlier today that I attended Cedarville, and I can still vividly remember, because I was pretty nervous, I can remember my first ever college class, English 101, 11 o'clock in the morning. That was pretty spectacular. I didn't have my first class till 11 in the morning. I did like that about college that freshman year. 11 o'clock in the morning, and my college English professor, his name was Mr. Heath, and I remember going into the classroom. I didn't know anybody because, you know, Matt's taking other classes. And so I went into the classroom, and the classroom was, it was just two gigantic, it was two rows, but they were two gigantic horseshoes. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen those kind of college classrooms or whatever? And the top row, the one furthest away from the teacher, all the seats were full. Every seat was taken. And then there was the bottom horseshoe rung, and no one was there. And so that's where I'm going to go sit by myself. And so I sat down myself, English 101, met Mr. Heath's class, 11 in the morning. And then all of a sudden there was a knock at the door, and someone went over and opened the door, and in walked a guy named Ryan. And Ryan had knocked on the door with the stick that he used to get around campus because he was blind. And he came, it was led over, and he sat down right beside me. And that was when Ryan and I became friends. And we would be friends. I wasn't his only friend. We would be friends throughout the entire 4 years that I was part of Cedarville University. The first blind person that I'd ever really interacted with. And something was fascinating to me as I interacted. There were two things, I don't know if this makes sense to you, there were two things that stood out to me when I observed and watched and talked with Ryan. The first thing that stood out to me, I was amazed at how much Ryan didn't need help. Like, he was incredibly self-sufficient at navigating life and life around campus. But this is the other thing that I noticed. Even though he was incredibly self-sufficient and he didn't need help, he still needed help. Because when you're blind, it's super helpful to have some friends that can help you see. I mean, back in my 20s, when I would read through a passage of scripture like this, I would think of Ryan. And something really interesting has happened through the years for me. When I read passages like this now, I actually don't think of Ryan all that much. I think of myself a lot. I can see myself And I hope that you can see yourself too, which is kind of ironic that I would see me and that maybe you could see you in regards to a story about a guy who couldn't see. Luke tells us that Bartimaeus is by the road begging, which would not be an uncommon place for blind people or an uncommon thing for blind people to be doing in biblical times. And all of a sudden, there is some commotion and the crowd around them, around him, starts to grow. And so he does what I think a blind person would do. What does he do? He asks, what's all the commotion about? What's going on? Because he can't see. And the people around him, what do they look back at verse 37. What do they say? Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. That's what he's told. And then can you believe what he does? Verse 38 says, he screams out in the midst of the crowd, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me! Exclamation point. Oh, you should read your Bible as the exclamation. Hey, he's screaming it. Now that's an interesting phrase, I think, Jesus, Son of David. It's not the first time it's been used, but not many people referred to Jesus as the Son of David. That was a reference to the Messiah from the line of David in the Old Testament. Which was interesting, you can read about some other blind men in your Bible that had also been healed by Jesus, and they got his, did you know this? They got his attention by screaming the exact same thing. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Because you see, in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah had said that when the Messiah comes, the eyes of the blind would what? They would see. The eyes of those who couldn't see would be opened and they would be able to see. Now you can fast forward to the days of Jesus when he's walking the planet and there are many people who are putting themselves in the way of grace because grace has a face and his name is Jesus. And this is my guess. My guess is this. My guess is word about Jesus had gotten out. And let me tell you where I believe that it had really gotten out. In the blind community. Right? If there are people who were once blind and they're no longer blind and they can see because Jesus has healed them, who are they going to be having conversations with? Other blind people. Jesus of Nazareth is here. Jesus, the Son of David. Isaiah told us about this, right? And so if you're blind and grace comes by on the street and you can't see, what do? You scream as loud as you can. And what do you scream? Whatever the other guys were screaming. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what does the crowd do? What the crowd always does. They help him up. They scream with him to get Jesus' attention. No, they say, be quiet. So what does Bartimaeus do? Verse 39, all right. Cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So you want to talk about a guy who's being intentional to put himself in the way of Jesus. This guy gets it, yeah? And lo and behold, Jesus stops because, of course he does. And he asks a simple question. What do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. Verse 42, and Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Grace. Good done to someone who deserves the opposite of the goodness done to them, and it is costly to the giver, the one who is giving the goodness, and it is shocking to the observer because they know that that person doesn't deserve the goodness, and it's traumatic to the receiver because that person also knows they don't deserve the goodness that they have received. Have you ever put yourself in the way of grace? Do you continue to daily put yourself in the way of grace? Maybe I could say it this way. The gospel is beautiful to you and to me to the degree that we see our need for grace. The gospel is beautiful to you and to me to the degree that we see our need for grace. Because it is possible that many of you have spent your entire life trying to convince yourself that you're not all that bad, especially when you like to compare yourself to other people. But the more you keep believing that, the less the gospel will be beautiful to you, the less transformative it'll be in your life. But if you and I, if we continue to put ourselves in the way of grace, you will find what you have in Jesus is what you need. And I've said it a couple of times, I'll say it again. Many of you in this room, you would say, yeah, man, that's part of my story. I met Jesus. And that's changed everything. And you go, I want to continue to live a life where I am shocked and amazed and overwhelmed and moved by the grace that God extends to me through his son, Jesus Christ. But there are others of you, and this is,
this is okay.
There are others of you that aren't sure. You aren't sure about God. You're not sure about Jesus. You're not sure about what you observe those around you talking about, singing about, giving their lives to, going to Mexico and doing trips and serving other people, that kind of stuff. You're just not sure about that. And here's what I would say to you. If that's you this morning, I want you to hear me very carefully say this. No one around here is offended by that. It doesn't bother anybody. But the invitation is open to you as well. To even with your doubts and even with your questions and even with your concerns and even with your fears and even with the negative connotations you have from your past, the invitation is still open to you simply to put yourself in the way of grace in the new year. Keep reading with me because there's this other guy who does... He does that. He's kind of curious. He puts himself in the way of grace. And of course, Jesus is kind enough to say hello. We'll just keep going right into 19. So this is right after the story of blind Bartimaeus. Roll right into Luke 19. It says, he, Jesus, entered Jericho and he was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. That simply means that in the taxation world, he's at the top of the collection pyramid. And he was rich, really rich. And some would say that he had come by his wealth in a dishonest way. Not in a way of integrity. And then it says this in verse 3, kind of jumped out at me. It says this, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. See it? Simply wanted to see about this Jesus. That could be you here today. Not sure what you think. That's okay. I mean, the invitation is to check Jesus out. I mean, this is the mission statement of this church, Fellowship Greenville, is what? To reintroduce people to who? Jesus. We want people in the way of grace. We want people in the way of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus does what Jesus does. What does he do? Continue to read. On account of the crowd, he couldn't see because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. So what do we know about Zacchaeus? Smaller guy, evidently pretty resourceful, and a good climber. These are the things we know about him, right? Climbs up the tree. Now, why did he climb the tree? All he wanted to do was see Jesus pass. That was the point. That's not talking about Jesus. I'm going to go check that out. I'm going to put myself in the way of grace. He wouldn't have said it that way. That's exactly what happened. Climbs up in the tree. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And so he hurried and he came down and he received him joyfully. How great is this, yeah? Zacchaeus had hurried ahead, climbed the tree just to see, just to take a look, just to catch a glimpse, to see what all the buzz and all the hubbub was about. And Jesus stopped, just like he did with the blind man in chapter 18. Jesus stopped because as you put yourself in the way of grace, Jesus stops. And Zacchaeus thought, right, I'm just going to go observe this from a sycamore tree. And what he thought would be a simple observation from a sycamore tree becomes a house visit with the Son of God. I'm just asking you, if you got doubts, you got questions, you got fears, you got things you're thinking through, you don't know what you believe, would you consider, that's what I'm praying for you, would you consider in 2019 just putting yourself in the way of grace? And verse 7 is interesting. And then when they saw it, going back to the crowd. When they saw it, they all grumbled. Yes, absolutely. Did they help him down from the tree? No. Did they say, oh, this is very nice. Look at you, little guy, up there in the tree. And now you come down and Jesus is going to hang out with you. Nope, they all grumbled. He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And the response from the crowd here is the same as the folks around blind Bartimaeus. Unbelief, disenchanted, keep your mouth shut, can't believe Jesus is hanging out with sinners again. And when you see your need for grace, the invitation from Jesus is quite beautiful. But if you don't see your need, you can observe Jesus all day long and not be changed by grace. Zacchaeus was changed. Look at verse 8. It tells us that he was. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son, I love it, for the Son of Man came to what? Seek and save the lost. Yep. People putting themselves in the way of grace. An incredible story. A man who just wanted to see Jesus, just wanted to check it out. But in putting himself in the way of grace, his life is forever changed. And how he began to walk through life after this moment also began to change. He starts giving his stuff away. The rich guy starts giving his things away. Because grace is good done to someone who deserves the opposite of the goodness done to them. And it is shocking to the observer and it is traumatic to the receiver. What about you? What about me? What about us? How do we, this is a question for us to think about. How do we in 2019 put ourselves in the way of grace? How do we intentionally continue to, for many of you in the room, or for others of you, for the very first time, put yourself in the way of grace? And from that place, extend grace to those that you come into contact with. Now, truth be told, I think there's a handful of ways, but I just this morning, I want to remind you of one because I believe it to be the key to all the others. Here's what it looks like for us in 2019 to put ourselves in the way of grace, that we would be a people who regularly hear from the Spirit of God through the Word of God for ourselves, that we would each be a person, a people, man, woman, boy, girl, child, that we would be a people who regularly hear from the Spirit of God through the Word of God for ourselves. For us in 2019, putting ourselves daily, regularly in the way of grace happens as we regularly interact with God's Word given to us that we may continue to know and live in the reality of His grace. And from that, everything else flows. Jonathan Edwards said it this way, that was really good. He said, you can endeavor to promote spiritual appetites by laying yourself in the way of allurement. Isn't that beautiful? That's my prayer. That's my prayer for you and me, that we would put ourselves in the way of grace, that we would put ourselves in the way of allurement from Jesus Christ, that we would continually be captivated by the kindness of God to us in and through Jesus Christ as we read and study and meditate and ponder and contemplate His words to us, that you and I would be a people when being described by other people would be described as people who have encountered and continue to encounter the grace of God because they interact, you interact with the Spirit of God through the Word of God. That's my prayer for you. Now, based on how some of you are wired, what you're looking for as we wrap up here today is you're looking for the steps. You're looking for the give me some pointers, right? So I want to do something very pastoral in this moment, and here's what I want to say to you. I got no steps. And here's the reason why. You are a part of a church that loves the Bible. You know that, right? Committed to teaching Scripture, working through books of the Bible. That's what we do at Summit as well, is we're usually working through books of the Bible. Love teaching the Bible. Charlie and Jim and the team, like they teach it faithfully. But I want to tell you something. Get a load of this. More than you loving how they teach the Bible, what they want for you is that you would put yourself in the way of grace by hearing from the Spirit of God through the Word of God for yourself. And listen, it's hard in this culture. I get it. Because we're busy. We've all got things. And so what's easy to do is to come in. I love this time. I say this to the people of Summit. I love Sunday morning. I love teaching the Bible. I got zero issues teaching the Bible. I love it. One of my favorite things that I get the opportunity to do. But if the full extent of you being in the way of grace is showing up a couple of times a month to listen to someone else teach you how they are in the way of grace, then that person's just brokering your relationship with God for you. And Charlie and Jim aren't interested in that. I'm not either. That you would be, but because you are reminded daily through the kindness of the Lord, that you're reminded daily of the grace given to you, the goodness given to you in Jesus Christ that was costly to God the Father. Traumatic for you because you know you deserve the opposite. So do I. That from that place, we would continue to put ourselves in the way of grace. Because that's the thing, you know, I read these stories, And what I read is, not steps, it wasn't steps. What it was an intentionality. Yeah? These guys were intentional. When blind Bartimaeus says, hey, what's the commotion? What's going on? Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Okay, cool. That's not his response. Oh, wow. Isn't that something? No, there's an intentionality. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. When the crowd's passing through, Zacchaeus, what's going on? What's going on? I'm a short guy. I can't see what's going on. Jesus passing by. Oh, man, I wish I wasn't so short. It's just a hand I've been... Just the hand I've been dealt. Short guy, right? No, there's this intentionality. You see it all throughout Scripture. There's this intentionality of people, and then there's the intentionality of Jesus. In both these stories, there's a progression going on. You know where Jesus is headed? At both times that he stops, in 18 and 19, you actually know this. If you know the story of the Gospel of Luke, you know where he's headed. He's headed to die. He's headed to Jerusalem. He's on that journey. So, at the end here was Zacchaeus when he says, came to seek and save the lost. Like, there's something to that, yeah? And there's an intentionality on their part to put themselves in the way of grace. And my encouragement to you as you go into 2019, what I'm praying for you, not just an encouragement, what I'm praying for you, what I'm praying for myself, is that we would be so captivated by the beauty and the hope of what God has given to us in and through Jesus Christ, that we would continue to put ourselves in the way of grace. And here, play on words, some of you, I don't even know if you've been thinking about this. Here's the deal. Even when you begin to put yourself in the way of grace, what you will come to realize is that even you putting yourself in the way of grace is the grace of God. Yeah, does that make sense? Even as you interact, that is the kindness and the grace of God in your life and in my life. I have as pastor, I have a front row seat to interacting with and observing people who begin to intentionally put themselves in the way of grace through Scripture. And it is unbelievably beautiful. I'll share something with you. Do you know what energizes me in the role that I have? You know what energizes me more than anything else? This might be interesting to you. It's not when people come up to me after a sermon and go, that was good. That's fine. I hope that we're faithful to teach the word and life change happens as the word is proclaimed. I'll tell you what I love, though. I tell you what gets me going. When people share with me what they've been hearing from the Spirit of God through the Word of God for themselves. That they're intentionally, through the Scriptures, putting themselves in the way of grace. Because here's the deal. If we are a people who are doing that, then we get the opportunity to be an extension of grace to the people that we do life with that are passing by. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you get it? As you interact with the God of the universe through his written word to you, and as I do, as we put ourselves in the way of grace, we then get the, again, with intentionality, we get the opportunity to extend grace, to be grace to other people as they are passing by. That's my prayer for you. What I'll be praying for you in 2019. As a matter of fact, the band's gonna come, we're gonna sing again, but I just wanna pray this over you now if I could. Would that be all right? Let's pray together. Father God, for the fine folks here of Fellowship Greenville, my brothers and sisters, my heart's cry for them in the new year is that they would intentionally, for many of them, continue to, for some of them, for the first time, put themselves in the way of grace. Would you do what only you can do in working in our hearts and lives in such a way that we get to continue to experience your grace and kindness to us in and through Jesus Christ? Goodness done to those of us who deserve the opposite, acknowledging that it's costly to you. I'm sure shocking to those observing, traumatic to us who are receiving it. I pray that there would be a sense of intentionality with those in this place. It's to hear from your Spirit through the Word, and from that place extend grace to those that you and your kindness and sovereignty are bringing along their path. That in the midst of the many things that are urgent as a new year begins, that we would be a people who live in the reality of the important, the most important. And that we would continue to put ourselves in your sweet way of grace. And we will thank you for it. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.